Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Just for fun, when you go home, look at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and imagine writing it out in front of the priest so that you make sure you didn't make any mistakes. He had to write it out before he took the throne. Why? Because God knows, before that dude starts leading my people, I want this in his heart. How do I get it in his heart? Amen? So we come expecting. You start coming expecting, God, I know today you're gonna speak to me. Boom! It'll transform the way that you hear and the time that you have with the Lord. Amen?
Do you come to church and to the Word of God with expectation? In today's message from Pastor Michael, he shares with you the importance of having an expectant heart. God's Word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. His Word does not return void or without any effect. Pastor Michael encourages you to let the Scriptures soak into your mind and heart. Receive the life that God gives through His daily bread from His Word. Receive from Him and pass that life on to others. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of Luke chapter 19. As he continues his message, Captivated.
How do we become captivated by God's Word, whether we're going to church or in our own personal devoted times? Here it is. We got to think of it as a conversation. We think of our time with God and in His Word as a conversation. Let me read these from John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus said, he's talking to some Jews that were being ultra critical of him at this point. He says, you pore over the Scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. Listen, and yet they testify about me. He goes, he's talking to him. He's like, you guys are being critical. You guys are all about the Scripture and poring over the Scripture. He goes, then that's great. But don't you understand that the Scripture points to me? Like, I don't have it up here, but in the book of in the gospel story, when Jesus raises from the dead, and after he's alive, the Bible says that he's on this road, and he's going to a city called Emmaus, and there's two of the disciples that are walking, and he joins the disciples, and they don't recognize him, and he begins to share with them, and he's talking to them, and they're like, dude, you're awesome, like, you really understand the Bible, and it says this, it says, he was explaining the Scriptures and how they pertained to himself. That's what it says. What Scriptures? The Old Testament Scriptures. This guy who we know is Jesus. And they're like, when they get to their place, they're like, why don't you come in and have dinner with us? So he's like, sure. So he goes in, and as soon as he broke the bread, they recognized it was Jesus, and he disappeared. Woo! I love stuff like that. Anyway, sorry, get excited. So here it is. He says, the Scripture, let me tell you, when you open the Bible on a Wednesday morning for your devotion, and maybe you read a little bit, okay? And you read your Bible, let me tell you what the purpose of that is. It is not to get more head knowledge. You don't come to church and say, man, I hope I learned something new today, you know, and I can, you know, whatever. That, you know, scrutinize the lamb thing, that was pretty cool. I never heard that before. Listen, that's great, and it's good to grow in knowledge and stuff like that, but here's the purpose of the Scriptures, to point to Jesus. We read the Word so that we can connect with and touch the Master. Oh, that's what it's about. So when people say, you know, I don't feel really close to Jesus, I'm like, dude, you got to approach the Lord, and it's an intimate relationship. The best way that I know to have an intimate relationship with anybody, okay, is by conversation. If I never talk to you, here's Lance in the front, okay? Lance, if I never talk to you, dude, our relationship sucks, being honest with you. I can see everyone's like, hey, brother, how you doing? But unless we're talking, conversing, our relationship's lame. Just being honest. My wife, Kelly, and I, we have a pretty good relationship, I hope. 30 years married. But here's the deal with Kelly. I don't go to Kelly, okay, when I come home from work or whatever. I don't go to Kelly and I say, hey, babe, I'm home from work. Listen, I need you to shut up. 15 minutes. I got 15 minutes. I'm going to talk to you, babe. So just be quiet. Don't interrupt. And I just talk. And she's just like, okay. And 15 minutes goes off. I go, click. All right, your turn. Talk to me. I'll give you, how about 10 minutes? And she talks. Okay, now I know that's stupid, and we can communicate that way, but that's not intimate, okay? But you know what? This is how I was taught to have my Bible devotions in the morning. Just read the Bible, maybe read a chapter in the Bible, and you know, or find a book in the Bible. You're reading something, read a verse in Psalms or whatever. And so I read, and what's happening? God's talking, and I'm quiet. And then when I'm done, it's like, and then you should always pray. So I have a little list of prayer. You know, please pray for grandma and pray for what, right? And so now I'm talking. And listen, this is, when I talk to Christians, I'm talking about, well, tell me about your devotion time. You know, like, oh, it's really hard to have devotion. Tell me about it. Let's say, well, I try to read a little bit of the Bible and then I do my few prayers and then I'm done. And it's lame as what I just described with me and Kelly. What is intimate conversation? I talk a little bit and Kelly says, oh, well, hold on. That's weird, Michael. That's funny that that happened today because this happened to me today. And I'm like, oh, that is weird. And this is what happened now. That's what now we're, and now then she talks. Intimate conversation is back and forth. There's ebb and flow to it. Are you with me? Okay. So what if we approached our time with God like that? Well, what does that look like? I'm going to show you. Thanks for asking. Here it is. You open the morning and you say, okay, God, I'm going to read. Okay. My Bible, literally, I just opened up to Isaiah 59 and verse 2, and I have it highlighted. So I'm going to read it. So here it is, God. Here's my time. You're going to talk. But your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not listen. Whoa, Lord. Now I'm talking. Notice, God, that blows my face off. My sin, my iniquities have separated me from you, God. Please forgive me. God, that really speaks to me right now. Your sins have hidden his face from, God, I don't want your face hidden from me. Please forgive me today, Lord. Thank you for letting me open up to that verse right now. Thank you, God. Amen. See what I'm saying? See how it's a conversation? Listen, I'm telling you what. It will transform your time with the Lord. And by the way, it's not just your morning time with the Lord. You can come to situations like this corporately. And if the word of God is being taught by whoever, but if it's being taught and God speaks to you with something, at that moment, don't wait and say, well, that's, at that moment, pray it in. God's talking, and then you say, God, man, whew, I needed to hear that. Thank you, Lord. Help me apply that to my life, especially with my roommate or with my friend or my mom or whatever. God, I need to apply what I just heard. Help me do that right now. You can be conversing and talking with God the whole time during church. Especially if you're wearing a mask, no one can tell. Okay, are you with me? How can we be captivated by God's word? Number one, man, approach it like a conversation. It will bring intimacy, okay? Very practical stuff. Let's go to number two. Be expecting for God to speak to you personally. When you open your Bible in the morning, expect God to do something. Okay, let me read you a scripture from James chapter 1. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person, listen to this, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. If I approach my personal devotions, or if I come to church without expecting to receive from the Lord, I probably won't. Just being honest, probably won't. We've all done it. We've all walked out of a church service and said, "Nah, that was kind of a lame one today. Wasn't as good as last week." Or, you know, "I just don't feel like I got anything out of that." I always say, did you come expecting? Because if you come expecting, listen, when I open the Bible in the mornings and I'm like, oh, God, do my duty. Whatever. Man, when I'm tired and yawning, I don't get much out of it. I'm just being honest with you. I just don't. But when I'm like, okay, God, whew, what are you going to say? Here it comes. Oh, here it comes. Bring it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wow, you know, like Kramer. Thank you, Lord. You know. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Let me read, Habakkuk, let me read this, chapter 2. So a lot of you were probably reading Habakkuk this morning. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. The Lord answered me, verse 1. I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. The Lord answered me, write this vision. Down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so one may easily read it. Habakkuk was a guy who at this point in his life, he was having some issues in his life. And so he needed a word from the Lord. And so he says, notice what he says. He goes, I'm going to go to the tower and God's going to speak to me there. I'm going to wait there for the tower and for God to speak. He went with an expectant heart. And guess what? God rewarded his sense of expectancy by speaking to him. He gave him the word, right? And then he says this, really interesting. He says, write it down. I think that's a good point for you and I too. When I write stuff down, I remember it better. I just do. I went to a church growing up where everybody was given a notebook and you had to take notes. If you didn't, you went to hell. Just kidding. You know, the bulletins that I give out on the back, I always put space for notes. And here's why. My wife, on my birthday this year, April 8th, she gave me this Bible. And I have a lot of Bibles, but I never had one like this, where if you look in the Bible, it has like margins here where you can write stuff in the margins. I've only had it since April, but I can take notes. So as I'm reading and God says something to me, I write it down. Why? Because I'm not very smart. And I have to write stuff down to retain. I'm just being honest with you. Do you know how I prepare for sermons here? For 31 years, I've been preparing this way. I read the passage, I write stuff down that God says to me. Then I read a bunch of commentaries and I write it down. I write my entire sermon word for word usually. I write it out and then I type it out. And then I read my notes out loud into my phone and I record it and I listen to myself read my notes about 7 or 8 times before I ever sit in front of you. You know why I do that? Because I ain't smart. And this is how I would be preaching to you. The Apostle James warns. I mean, I would be like reading it. But I want to know it. I want it to be in my heart so that I can give it to you guys. Are you with me? Listen, this is how we remember things. So I love that Habakkuk's like, you know what, dude? I'm going to go wait for God. I'm expecting him to say something. And he did say something. And then God says, write it down. Write it down. Do you know, listen to this. I found this in the book of Deuteronomy. Do you know that in the Old Testament, when a guy became the king of God's people, Israel, God would literally have him write out by hand the entire Torah or the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Can you imagine writing it out just for fun when you go home? Look at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy and imagine writing it out in front of the priest so that you make sure you didn't make any mistakes. He had to write it out before he took the throne. Why? Because God knows. Before that dude starts leading my people, I want this in his heart. How do I get it in his heart? Amen? So we come expecting. You start coming and saying, God, I know today you're going to speak to me. Boom! It'll transform the way that you hear and the time that you have with the Lord. Amen? Okay, number 3. Are you guys still with me? Woo, all right. Okay, number 3. How am I captivated? When I read and when I come to church, I always read and I obey. I obey what God is speaking to me, okay? The reason many people say, you know, I'm not really getting anything out of the sermons, or I read the Bible and I'm just not getting anything out of it. It could very well be because they haven't done the thing that God has already spoken for them to do. Here's the deal. Jesus said it this way. He said, when I give you something, if you take that and you do more with it, I'll give you more. Right? We've been talking about that recently with the talents and the minas back a chapter ago in Luke. All of that. God, what's the point? God gives you something. Invest it, dude. Do something with it. And if you do, I'll give you more, right? Mark chapter 4 says this. Jesus said to them, I love this. Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And more will be added to you. More what? More of the things that you're hearing. For whoever has, more will be given to him. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away for him. Either I'm doing the things that God has already spoken to me. Listen, no one ever taught me this. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, either I'm doing the things that God has already spoken to me. I'm doing those things. Or he won't speak to me anymore. He'll stop giving me. He's going, dude, you haven't done the last thing I convicted you about. Why would I give you more? You're like, I'm just not getting anything out of it. I read the Bible. I'm just not getting a lot out of it. Have you obeyed what God's already told you? Well, no. Okay. Maybe he won't give you more. Here's how you approach Bible study in the mornings or coming to church even. As you're driving here. Slipping on the ice, blowing out 2 tires. This is how you do it. Just kidding. Here's what you do. You say, Lord, today as I open up your word or as your word is spoken to me, I give you permission to speak to me. Whatever you say, God, if you rebuke me, and I know you do that sometimes, but listen to this. If you rebuke me, I will turn at your rebuke. I'll obey, but speak to me today, Lord. Man, if we went with that kind of a heart, gang, I'm telling you, it'll change. And you'll be like, okay, God, bring it, bring it. And sometimes you're like, oh, ow, but it's good. My flesh hates it. My spirit, man, is like, whoa, I was waiting for that flesh guy to die. All right, last one, number four. So to be captivated, you know, we want to approach it like a conversation back and forth, right? We have an expectant heart and we're ready to obey. Number four, we read it consistently. We must read the Bible consistently, okay? And not give up. I grew up in a church where I can't tell you how many times I went to church and I was like, okay, I'm going to read the Bible every single day. And in the new year, I got a new Bible, and I'm going to read it every single day, and I'm going to go through the Bible in a year plan, and I'd get to like January 4th, and I'd miss it. You know, something would happen, and I'd be like, oh, I forgot, you know, and now it's the 5th. Do I read both days? That's a lot. And then I wouldn't do it, and then it'd be the 6th, and I'd be like, I got to read the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th to catch up? Forget it. I'll start next year. Is it just me that's done that? Okay, just me. All right. Listen, we got to read and be consistently. I'm really not a big believer in do the Bible in a year plans. If you do that and God's told you to do that, man, go for it. I'm so happy for you. Me personally, I always lame out and then I can't catch up. So for me, I'm just like, just read it consistently. If you miss a day, forget it. Go the next day. Does that make sense? If you want a Bible plan, I'll give you a Bible plan. It has no dates on it, just check boxes, and I'll give it to you. But anyway, I love it. Get into the Word, absolutely, but do it consistently. I tell men, this is gross. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is Michael, though. Sorry, you hired me. Here's the deal. I tell the men in the men's group, if you have trouble reading the Bible, I just don't have any time. Put a Bible by your toilet. I know, it's gross. But everybody's sitting there for a little bit. Why not read God's word? Well, that's when I play crossword puzzles on my phone. That's gross. That's disgusting. Here's the deal. I don't care when you do it. Find time consistently to get in God's word. Here's the deal. Don't give up, even when it doesn't make sense. Anybody else ever read the Bible and you're like, what? I do all the time. This is my degree, okay? And I'm reading, I'm like, what the, God, what are you talking about? Like, I don't understand this at all. Sometimes I have to read something a lot and read what other people write about something just to understand it. Don't give up, even if you don't understand. Let me tell you something that's really, really groovy about being a Christian. There's a lot of things, but here's one thing. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So do I. And what's so groovy about the Holy Spirit is that he ain't natural. He's supernatural. And I may read something, not understand it at all, and 3 weeks later, I'll remember what I read. Like the Holy Spirit will be like, he'll bring it back in my memory. And I'll be talking to someone or I'll be by myself and God will just be like, remember that story you read? And I'll be like, whoa, another Kramer moment. That's awesome, God. Just keep reading and don't give up. God's word is powerful, you guys. I don't even know. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Like it can cut right through the marrow, to the marrow. Like it cuts through the garbage of my life and it will attack right exactly what I need when I need it. But put it in there. Does that make sense? And I can prove it to you. Let me look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. God's talking. He says, my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I please, God says, what I please, and it'll prosper in what I send it to do. But it can't do that if we don't get into it. So when you read it, trust the Lord. He'll bring it when it's needed. Does that make sense? If we're faithful to study God's word consistently, even though it may be hard to understand at times, we dig the ditches, and God will fill it up. And I want to share with you a story, and then I'm all done today, okay? The story is found in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 3, and you can read it later. I'm going to tell you the story now. But it's so cool. There's a guy named Elisha. Elisha is the prophet of God, okay? And there was a king at the time named Jehoshaphat. He was constantly jumping. All right, sorry. Jumping Jehoshaphat. You guys ever watch Bugs Bunny? All right. Anyway, sorry. Jehoshaphat was the king. I thought it was funny, and no one else did. Here's the deal. Jehoshaphat, and it's dry, dude. It's like famine and drought. No one has water anywhere. They're in the middle of the desert. Everybody's stinking, dying because there's no water. And so the man of God, Elisha, comes to jump in Jehoshaphat, and he goes, I want you, God told me to tell you, listen, you need to dig ditches, dude. And he's Jehoshaphat's like, what are you talking about? It's totally dry. Why would we dig ditches? He says, no, God's going to fill them up with water. What are you talking about? There's not a cloud in the sky. We looked at the weather channel. There's no rain coming our way, dude. Why would we do this? And Elisha's like, would you stop arguing? Just do it. Dig the ditches. And so the king gets these dudes to dig these ditches, right? And you can imagine, I was thinking about like the guys that were commissioned to dig the ditches, because that's a bad job, right? It's hot, and you're like, gosh, I hate this, man. I can't believe the stinking king. We've got to do this or he's going to kill us. Man, I hate this. It's totally, I'm sweating, and there's no water anyway. What a joke. I should have gone to college. Whatever. Sorry. Anyway, so whatever. I read that into it. It doesn't say that in the Bible. But I imagine that's what they said. So here's the deal. The next day, everybody wakes up. The ditches are full of water. Everybody drinks. The cattle drink. Everybody's okay. Why? Because in faith, they dug the ditches. Here's the message for you and me today. We must be those. Even when it's dry and you read it, you're like, I do not understand this. Dig the ditches. Be consistent. You will wake up one day and he will quench your thirst with the word of God. Be faithful to church. This isn't a pastor that says, well, you know, if you would all just come to church every single Sunday and you'd go to heaven. I'm not trying to say that. But listen, when you only go 3 or 4 times a year and you're not feeding your spirit with the word of God, it can be a disastrous thing. You will be thirsty. Your spirit will be thirsty. You will begin to say things, act in ways that you're like, man, I really don't want to act that way. Why am I acting that way? Maybe it's because garbage in, garbage out. All you're doing is feeding yourself stuff that's out in the world and you're not having time alone with the master. The word of God will transform your life. It is sharper than anything else. I really, really believe that. So I want to be a man who's captivated. God, what is it today, man? I'm ready. I'm there every day. If you're speaking, I'm there. How do I do that? Well, I'm beginning to converse with the Lord more. That intimacy, God, oh boy, that spoke to me. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to apply that. I'm going to do that. And this is where I'm feeling. Work your prayer into your Bible reading and your Bible listening. It'll change you. Come with an expectant heart. Today, God, I'm not, you know, listen, if you have to walk around, I do this when we have prayer meetings, I have to walk in here because when I sit, I'm like, that's me, but I have to walk. And I walk when I read. If you're reading the Bible and your time is at 5 o'clock in the morning, praise the Lord, you are awesome. If I read at 5 o'clock in the morning, I would be laying before the Lord. That's what I would be doing. So I have to walk around sometimes, and that's just to get my blood running, you know? Listen, it's like when we pray, we close our eyes. You know the Bible doesn't say you have to close your eyes when you pray? You know why I close my eyes when I pray? Because everything is distracting. So if I'm praying like, Lord, I want to be squirrel, you know? I mean, that's me. So I close my eyes. Okay, Lord, you with me? Don't do that when you're driving like Pastor Sky does. Keep your eyes open when you pray when you're driving. Anyway, have an expectant heart, okay? Expect it. Man, God, you're going to do something like Habakkuk going to the tower. I know God's going to speak to me, and he will. And maybe write it down. Keep a little journal and write down the things that God's speaking to you. Amen? And then say, God, what you speak, I will obey. I'll turn at your rebuke. I will. Amen? And then be consistent about it. Find a time. Do something. Amen?
You've been listening to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft. Pastor Michael has more to share from the Gospel of Luke, so be sure to join us again. In the meantime, you can learn more about the Burning Hearts Radio Ministry by visiting our website, thealpinechapel.com. Once there, you'll be introduced to the church behind this ministry, the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. We'd love to have you join us for worship. We meet together to learn from God's Word and spend time praising His name. It's an incredible time of fellowship, so if you're in the area, make plans to join us Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday at 9 a.m. You'll find all the information you need, including directions, at thealpinechapel.com. If you're not in the area, you can still be part of our Sunday morning worship. We're streaming this service live right from our website as well as on Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, come follow our page for all the latest updates and event invitations. You can follow the link at our website or just search for the Alpine Chapel. If you ever have any questions about what you heard on Burning Hearts or would like to ask us to pray with you, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can send us a message on Facebook or just visit the contact page at thealpinechapel.com. One more time, that's thealpinechapel.com. Well, we've officially come to the end of our time with you today. Place a marker where we've left off in the book of Luke and make plans to join Pastor Michael again next time here on Burning Hearts.